أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the arrival of the month of Ramadan and another beautiful opportunity for us to gain some qurbat and closeness to Him. I am honored to be back here with all of you during these beautiful days. I wasn't supposed to be here this year, but I decided to set myself on fire, as you can see. I just wanted to, first of all, on a personal note, I feel an obligation to thank this community for a number of things. For those who don't know, and I'll be very brief, there was an accident in my house where I suffered third-degree burns on my right hand and both of my feet. And while I'm not fully healed yet, I'm limping around, alhamdulillah, I'm able to at least get here and get around. But the outpouring of love that all of you had shown, the Bayt al-Qayyim community specifically, the messages, the calls, the emails, the get well soon cards I got in the mail, many of you looking around this room had signed it. It's very, very, for me, it's an honor, it's a love that I have for all of you. So I really thank you for that. It got me through a very difficult time in my life. I ask you to please keep me in your du'as, inshallah. It's a very difficult recovery process. It's quite hideous as well, but inshallah we'll get through it with your support and your love. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I was scheduled to be in Melbourne right now, Australia. And my doctor had said that you're not going to fly that far because my right foot is a mess. Now, I don't know what this man in front of me has in terms of where he powers from Allah, but he has something about him. I texted him one simple message, if you recall, Dr. Sabit. I had said that, what is the BQ program for the month of Ramadan? That's all I said. When I wasn't going to Melbourne, I just asked him. I wasn't asking myself to come. I just said, what is the program? He replied by saying that if you are available, then we'll change the entire program. Now, I don't know. I don't know who got cut. I don't know who got sent where. I don't know what happened. But whoever it is, I'm sorry. But he, for some reason, knew somehow that I wasn't going where I was supposed to go. And Khed, we moved around some pieces, and we sent that guy there and sent this guy here to open up these doors for myself. And believe me, it is always my honor to be here with all of you. You know, first you start off with 5 days at the camp, and then 10 days for Muharram, and now 15 days for Mukhtar Ramadan. It seems like like you can't get rid of me. In this opening day of the month of Ramadan, and we'll begin our actual lectures tomorrow with our topic in mind, it is important that we talk a little bit about the istiqbal of the month of Ramadan, the welcoming of the month of Ramadan. I don't have much time, I have about 15 minutes left, 20 minutes left. The verse that is very famously about the prescription of fasting in Surah Baqarah that I read for you in the khutbah, where it says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as has been prescribed for those before you, so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you can be amongst the pious ones. Now taqwa, the best transition I have found is God consciousness. to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you do. And if you examine your day today, those of you who work specifically, your akhlaq with your co-workers, your consciousness of the sharia today, your ability to somehow stop yourself from breaking any major laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the epitome of taqwa in everyday life. The month of Ramadan is known as a training ground for a reason. It is a snapshot. It's a quick image of 30 days of how life should be beyond the month of Ramadan. It is the same 24 hours that all of us have, the same 24 hours, and yet somehow we're able to wake up at 3:30 in the morning, half an hour before the Adhan of Fajr. Somehow we're able to get up, read our dua, read our salat on time, go back to bed, wake up for work, get through work somehow on 3 to 4 hours of work, come home, somehow squeeze in Baytul Qaim, somehow squeeze in a Juz of Quran, somehow do dua, all of this, be home by midnight. It's not an easy month at all. But the same 24 hours outside the month of Ramadan, we don't have time for any of that. And it's almost as if God had increased it to 30 hours a day in the month of Ramadan. Not the case. It's the exact same 24 hours. The difference is our conscious level is somewhere else in the month of Ramadan. Our focus is somewhere else. I want you to count how many times you say, oh, if I wasn't fasting, man. How many times we're very conscious of what we listen to and what we look at and what we say and all these things. How literally after iftar our akhlaq changes. Why? Because we're not fasting anymore. And so when we talk about the idea that shaitan is chained up in this month of Ramadan, it's not that shaitan no longer has an effect. No, guna happens in the month of Ramadan. It's a fact that the effect that shaitan has on us is lessened in the month of Ramadan. Not because he all of a sudden goes on vacation. If anything, he's probably amping up his army because all of you decided to what? Tread the path of taqwa. The difference is that you have a repelling force around you that's stronger in the month of Ramadan than in any other month. And you can feel that beauty inside of you. That's why when you look at this idea of what should I accomplish in the month of Ramadan, and I encourage all of you, from my families, to my individuals, to my youth, to my parents and the audience, to sit down with your family and set a plan. What is it that we want to achieve in the month of Ramadan? If you pick up dua number 44 of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam in Sahifa, he says, talks about the fact that this is a month for the families. And think about the fact that if I walk into your house at 3:30 in the morning, mashallah, the lights are on, there's ronak in the house, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, everybody is awake. We actually wake up individuals at prime time of namaz isha. Does it happen any other month except for the month of Ramadan? Literally, if you don't wake up, your mom will send one sibling, then two siblings, and if dad comes, it's over. You have to wake up at that moment. Jaake uthao, jaake uthao, jaake uthao. That adamant level of namaz is shab time, because 3:30, 3:40, imsak time nowadays, is the prime time of namaz is shab. Every other month, though, somehow we can't get up. The difference is, with all due respect, people like me, the thought of me fasting without sehri and suhoor, I can't do it. So I wake up because the body screams, at least drink some water. At least have one khajur. So I pop up, I set two alarms, I make sure that everyone wakes me up. But when it comes to the soul who's asking for food, outside the month of Ramadan, it's not there yet. So if you're able to accomplish these goals in the month of Ramadan, why not from now train ourselves to post Ramadan? When Shawwal comes, when Zilqa'dah comes, when Zilhajjah comes. And so you have a snapshot of taqwa to the point where, and everywhere that you are, you can be at the office, in the center, at the home, in the middle of the night, you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what's meant by وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ صَلُّوا عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدْ. The second point that I wanted to make was that if you look at where is it that we should be moving towards in the month as it moves forward, the first 2 or 3 days, we have a tough enough time getting through the physical fast. Right? Like right now, I mean, you're looking at me, you're listening to me, but you really are wondering what will be behind those doors after Maghrib. And I thank them for closing the door because I cannot compete with the khushbu of iftar. If that trickles in, it's over. So right now, you know,
you listen to me, but you guys are zombies because you're starving and you're thirsty, and that's fine. The body needs time to adjust. The fifth or sixth of month on Ramadan, the body adjusts. It's amazing. So the ulama say now you go up one level, where now you go from the fasting of the body to the fasting of the eyes, of the tongue, of the ears. And then just like you deprive everything from its organs, then you go to the fasting of the heart, where you deprive everything to the heart except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe perhaps 19 days into the month, we get ourselves to level, we are at a level where now everything is fasting, from our stomachs, to our eyes, to our tongue, to our ears, to our heart. Now we are ready for those nights of Qadr. Now we walk into nights of Qadr in a complete state of fasting. Not a physical fast, a spiritual fast. There's levels, guys. It's not just a hunger strike. It's not just 10 pounds of weight loss. It's something else. We want to make sure our entire wujud fast. That's why if you look at those things that breaks your fast, and inshallah every single night that I'm here, in the beginning of first 5 minutes, I will remind ourselves of one masala in fiqh of fasting. Some common questions like if I bleed during the brushing or can I go swimming, for example. Those kind of things are good reminders. If you look at the breakdown of what breaks a fast, there are, in the category of 10 to 11 things, there are three major categories. One of them is control of your tongue. If you lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your fast is broken. Number two is the controlling of your stomach. If you eat and if you drink, your fast is broken. Number three is the controlling of your private organs. That also is a breaking of the fast. These three are major categories. If we're able now to control ourselves in these three areas, the three of the toughest areas we have in our body, then we can really begin to dent ourselves in this path towards spirituality. So yes, a lot of you ask me, what's the focus? What's the focus? The focus is these three categories: your tongue, your stomach, and your private parts. That's why Imam Hussein says, well, on the day of Ashura, they are like this because they have what? Haram inside their stomachs. This is the effect. We have effect. 40 days, your ibadat is not accepted if you willingly eat haram food. The connection between a physical meal and your spiritual state is a very direct state. Right? So it's important that we begin to make plans for ourselves. Right? It might take 3 or 4 days to get used to the idea of waking up at 3:30 and then being sleep deprived and, you know, walking around and work like a zombie, right? And trying to, you know, explain to your coworker who's annoying, not even water? No, not even water. Not even water. Right? Point number three that I wanted to make, just as an intro, tomorrow we begin our discussion, inshallah. If you look at the khutbah of Sha'aban on the last Friday of the month of Sha'aban that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, innahu qad aqbala ilaykum shahrullah. Very famous line in the beginning of this khutbah. O people, O ya ayyuhan nas, surely the month of Allah is upon you. Ilaykum, it's moving towards you. The verb that's used in Arabic, very quickly, is aqbala, iqbal. There are two states that we have in the heart, very quickly. One is called iqbal, one is called idbar. Okay, I'll give an example. Sometimes our youth ask us that, why is it, Maulana, that sometimes I'm running towards the musalla and actually feel that lizzat towards my worship. I feel great after my salat. Then there is that moment where I have to be dragged to the musalla and I get through somehow 4 rakats and it's still at that moment I don't feel that pleasure. And the state of iqbal and idbar, iqbal meaning moving towards something, idbar moving away from something. Why is this there? It's a fluctuation of the heart. The heart, the qalb, is known as qalaba. Qalaba means to fluctuate. That's the reality of the heart. But if you look at the idea that he says, qad aqbala, that the month of Ramadan now is moving towards you. And we have to do what? Istiqbal of that. Now, istiqbal comes from the same root word, qabala. Right? But it is twofold. There has to be two parties involved for there to be istiqbal. For example, Mr. Bai came to get me from the airport on Tuesday, right? He did istiqbal of me from the airport, correct? Now, if I didn't show up, my flight was delayed or my flight was missed, he had no idea, he'd arrive at the airport, he was there, I wasn't there, That's not istiqbal. If I arrive, let's say, and he for some reason forgot that day. So I'm waiting, he didn't show up. I'm there, he's not there. That also is not istiqbal. Istiqbal is two-way. Both of them come at the exact same time. The Prophet of Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ. The month of Ramadan has arrived now for you. Meaning what? It's arrived at the airport waiting for you to come towards it. Right? The idea is, are you ready? Are we ready to istiqbal of the month of Ramadan or not? Because it has already done istiqbal of us already. It's at the airport waiting for us. Are we going to land and hop in the plane and go towards our destination or not? Because the reality is that if you don't know who you're picking up at the airport, you may miss it. If for example, some stranger comes to get me, never saw me, never heard of me, has no idea what I look like, I could be standing there for hours and hours and hours, didn't have ma'arifat of me, no istiqbal. He'll come, he'll say, I waited 2 hours, I didn't see Asad Jafri, I left. I'll say, I was there on the curb for 2 hours outside baggage claim. I was there for 2 hours. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize who you were. So recognition also is a point of proper istiqbal of anything. The month of Ramadan requires us to recognize this month for proper istiqbal of it. Do we understand when it's called the month of Allah? Everything is Allah's, correct? Everything is Allah's. Every universe, every planet, every existence belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Tasbih of Allah. Why is it specifically this idea that the month belongs to the month of Allah? You know, things are in this world. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. We live in a world that's called nisbi. I mean, it's all about nisbat, about this connection we have sometimes. And sometimes the respect given to people is not because of them, it's because of what they're connected to. That this, for example, is the son of that individual. That individual is worthy of respect. The son, based on that nisbat, is worthy of respect. Or this is, I don't know, the first cousin of this fulan individual in India, Pakistan. He, mashallah, is a very respectful individual. You know, usually the sons of the ulama or the sons of the maraji are avim alone because of the nisbah towards their father or towards their relative. That's how this world works. The higher the nisbah, the more value that entity has. And so when the Prophet of Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ, he does not say, قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. He says, no, what's coming towards you is the month of Allah. Now imagine the nisbah this month has towards who? Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the adhamat, the adhim. In that same khutbah he says, we're sleeping now is ibadat. My youth love that line. They love that line. That's their favorite line. Breathing is tasbih of Allah. It's nights the best nights. It's days the best days. Read that khutbah when you go home. It's beautiful. It is literally this idea. Allah says, look, it is, the Prophet of Allah says, it is a man who is foolish who walks in the month of Ramadan and leaves the month of Ramadan the exact same person as you walked in. Too much barakat, too much rahmat. So we have to make sure that we are benefiting to the best of our ability. Now one point I want to make here. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sorry, I know I'm jumping. I just want to get through these points in the next 2 or 3 minutes. It's important that we kind of set the base for the next few nights. The Prophet of Allah also has a very beautiful hadith. He says that worship Allah to the best of your ability. Worship Allah to the best of your ability, not the best of your sibling's ability, not the best of your neighbor's ability, not the best of a guy bit the qaim's ability, the best of your ability. So yes, while there is a lot to do in the month of Ramadan, there's tons to do, Mafati is filled with the whole checklist, I want all of us to focus on the quality of ibadat, not the quantity of ibadat. If I can say one thing, and I may get in trouble with this, I would rather a youth today understand one verse of the Quran and apply it, then read one juz of the Quran and not apply it. Although I must say, tilawat of the Quran is highly, highly emphasized in this month. Again, we have a hadith that one verse read in the month of Ramadan, one verse read in the month of Ramadan is the entire Quran read in every other month. 6,000 plus verses, that's 6,000 plus Qurans. If we have tawfiq to finish the entire Quran. One of the reasons why there's 30 juz is for the month of Ramadan. And we beg for 29 days of the month of Ramadan. That's why I told him I would accept the first 2 weeks, never accept the last 2 weeks. I spend the last 2 weeks in my home community. I don't touch the moon issue. I'm not suicidal. I enjoy my life. I like the way my life is. I don't like anything else. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. First 2 weeks are very simple. There's one majlis. That's it. And the khulafis. That's it. So the idea is that we have to understand this idea that it is the best of your ability. If all you can do in the month of Ramadan is your wajibat, maybe 5 verses, 10 verses, maybe a juz, maybe half a juz. You can come every second day to Bayt al-Qayyim, it doesn't matter. Whatever you can do, do it. But push yourself. You are in a state of complete consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to ensure that this moment we take complete and absolute benefit from. Otherwise, like I said, it'll become a month just like any other month, and this is not a month for that. This is a month where everything is magnified by 10, everything is magnified by 40 sometimes, some hadith says. We talk about the nights of Qadr, where it says, you know, one act of it is 83 years of worship. Right? 1,000 months. Right? And so, it's not that all of a sudden that grand night is something else. It's the idea that if you had done everything you want to do for the first 19, 20, 21 nights, then yes, every one of your acts is equal to a lifetime of work. That's because that capacity exists inside of you, not inside the Shab al-Qadr. Shab al-Qadr can be every single night, provided that we are that level of conscious towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our amal in the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that while we open our fast and while we have our suhoor, we think about those who have nothing really to open their fast with. We think about those who are the mustazafeen. We think about those who are being massacred in Gaza. We think about those who are being massacred in Yemen, in Bahrain, all over the world, inshaAllah. We pray, Allah, that through our fast, through our du'as, that you weaken the hands of the enemies of Islam, inshallah, and you weaken those who are oppressed, strengthen those who are oppressed all over the world. And finally, Allah, our dua is one that we elevate ourselves towards you in the state that we are ready and isqabil of the zuhur of Imam al-Zaman, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.